Amen, church. Grab a seat, and would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, you are the great treasure of our lives. You are our heavenly Father. You are our strength and our shield. And Father, today we pray that as we go on this journey of self-discovery, as we understand where we came from so we can understand more where you want us to go, I pray your Spirit would meet us and guide us and teach us. Father, the burdens that we are carrying today, Father, some of the things that were said about us as a kid, some of the things that weren't ever said that we needed to hear, some of the things that happened to us, some of the things that didn't happen to us, Lord, how those have shaped us in the wrong ways, I pray today, Lord, that your Spirit could shape us in the right ways. I pray we could experience your affirmation, your validation, your fatherly love, and I pray it would make us healthier. Help us in this journey. Fill us with your Spirit. Guide us in this. We ask in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Well, church, it's good to be with you today. Man, thank you for risking your life to be in church. God bless you. You amazing people. I'm thankful for you. Please be safe going home. Can we thank our welcome team who's out there shoveling, working hard? Welcome team, we're going to double your pay. So zero plus zero is zero. Anyway, but no, we're so thankful for you. Thankful for your hearts to serve. And as Jovan said, campus night is right around the corner this Thursday. So yeah, we'd love to have you all there. If you're like, should I go? The answer is yes. So let me make it easy for you. We want to see you there. And can we take a second and just welcome all those again tuning in online? Glad you guys are with us today. And we are continuing our sermon series called Healthier. I don't know about you. Anybody want to be healthier this year? I know I do. I want to get healthier in every way. And we've been talking about how we have to uncover some of the things that are beneath the surface of our lives and invite God into all that. And today we're going to talk about our families, how we grew up and the things that we experienced and how they shaped us for good or for bad. And where it was for bad, the good news is God can continue to change and shape us and give us things that maybe we didn't get, but we should have. So we're going to dig into that today, and I think it's going to be really, really helpful to us. And when you think about your life and when you think about your family, I want you to think about the things that were given to you from your family. You know, when I think about it, one of the things that comes to my mind is my name. I'm named after my great-grandfather. His name was Chet. If you weren't making the connection, his name was Chester, but everybody called him Chet. And thank you, Dad, that you dropped the Chester and kept the Chet. You know, I really appreciate that. That has helped me out in life. But I got that name from my great grandfather. That's where it came from. And my great grandfather, I never met him. He died before I was born, I think, or if he didn't, then I wasn't, you know, I was too young to know him. But I heard a lot of stories about my great grandfather, and he loved Lake Erie. He loved boating. In fact, almost all the pictures that I see of him are at the lake on a boat. And guess what, church? I love boating. I love Lake Erie. My dad did. It's something that has somehow gotten passed down through our family. And you better believe I'm going to try and pass that down to my girls as best as I can. But that's something that came from my family. Most of the stories that I heard about my great-grandpa Chet was that, he was a good guy. A lot of people liked him. But sometimes he could push the boundaries a little bit. And sometimes could be mildly mischievous, a little bit of a troublemaker at times, and I didn't get that. So anyway, that one skipped me. But, you know, there's a little bit of that in me, too. Can be a little anti-authoritarian at times, things like that. But we all receive things from our families, and some of it we're aware of. Some of it you can name and see. And some of it is incredible blessings and gifts, right? But then there's other things that we receive too. Things that we may not be aware of, but they might be deeply affecting and shaping who we are. And so today we're going to go on this journey to ask God to help us to try to understand where we came from. We're going to go back to go forward. We're going to look at where we came from, because where you came from was not accidental. And where you came from is not unimportant. God is in all of that, and we need God to continue to help us understand it and shape up, because some of us, honestly, we need set free from some things. We need released from some things. We need scripts rewritten by the Spirit of God that we've been living from that are wrong. So we're going to talk about all that, and I know this journey can be hard for some of us. But my wife told me, I was talking to her about my sermon, she said, hey, you got to remind the church that it's hard to be healthy, but it's harder to be unhealthy. I was like, babe, that'll preach, man. That'll preach. That's from Allie Beatler. That'll preach. Yeah. So there it is. I did what I said I would. She told me to do it. I passed it on. So today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3 as our guide. Paul has a prayer for us that I want you to just open your heart to this prayer, because we all need it, no matter where we come from, no matter how good or how bad it is, we're going to need this prayer in our lives. It's Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 14. This is a great apostle Paul writing. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. I just love that, the Father. There is one ultimate Father of us all, church. It's the Almighty God. And Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father. And every one of us, church, if we're going to be healthy, we got to learn to bow our knees before the Father. We need to learn to relate to him and to humble ourselves before him and to worship him. Verse 15, from whom every family, that's your family included in that, every family in heaven and on earth is named. He is the source of every family. Every family has a purpose. Every family is meant to carry the fatherly blessings of the Almighty and pass them on to you. Doesn't always work that way, but that's the plan. And then Paul says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul says, I'm praying God's Spirit would strengthen your internal world, your inner being, the core of who you are. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Not the terrible things that someone said to you would dwell in your hearts. Not the pain and trauma and abuse or neglect or whatever would dwell in your hearts. But that Christ would dwell there. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, the power of God is in our lives when we grasp the greatness of Jesus' love for you and me. That's what the fullness and power of God looks like. It's when we are making more connections in our heart and mind for how much Christ actually loves you. And you're being molded and strengthened and renewed by that love. And as you experience that, you are being filled with the fullness of God. That's a powerful thing. And so Paul prays that. Now let's dig into this. And I want to talk about this first sentence and spend a few minutes on it. That every family in heaven and on earth derives its name from God the Father. Pete Scazzaro, we've been referencing his work a lot in this series, but he says emotionally healthy spirituality is about reality, not denial or illusion. It's about embracing God's choice to birth us into a particular family, a particular place, a particular moment in history. And that choice granted us certain opportunities and gifts. And if I could just say this in a simple way, he's saying your story was not an accident. Your story was not a mistake. Now, there may have been many mistakes in it. Maybe mistakes that were done to you, maybe mistakes that you did, but either way, God has a purpose in it. And even the ugly parts of our story that we don't want to go to, church, when we allow God to really enter into those, there is something of value that can come from them. And so he's saying we have to know it. We have to understand it. And what I want us to think about today and what I want us to realize for ourselves as it relates to each of our story is, number one, I want us to see how we have been shaped by those who have gone before us. Because I think in our world today, we think that we are just these complete individuals that sort of live in a vacuum. But who we are, church, is the culmination of a lot of generations that have gone before us. And to act like that is not true is to live in a sense of denial, in a sense of distance from reality. We are shaped, church. We are. We've got to acknowledge it. And even more than acknowledging it, we have to begin to understand it. What shaped me in the way that God intended me to be shaped? I got to understand that. And I got to bless my family, and I got to bless God for that. What shaped me in the wrong way, and how can I begin to relearn with God's help how to be shaped differently? That's the second part. See, if you are a follower of Jesus, your earthly family is tremendously important. But here's the other thing. The scriptures say you're adopted into a new family. And that new family actually becomes the bigger family that you're part of. What I mean by that is that new family of God is then meant to reshape how we go back and relate to our earthly family. And so what we all need to do at different times is relearn how to be the family of God. Because there's some things that we learn the wrong way. You with me on this, church? Give me a mediocre Southern amen if you're tracking with me. I'm not asking for anything great this morning. Amen. All right, so let's dig into this. The first thing I want us to think about is how the blessings of God came into our lives through our family. See, every family, Paul's showing us this model. It starts with God, but then it goes into our lives. And every family is meant to be a conduit of God's love. See, God's love is supposed to be channeled through our families. And it's supposed to shape us and prepare us and empower us to be the people that God wants us to be. And I want you to take a moment today, and I'm going to ask you to think about a lot of things today, so I hope you're well caffeinated. But I want you to think about what were some of the blessings that God gave to you through your particular family. What are the some of the ways that they blessed you and they shaped you and they gave you gifts? And the reason I want you to think about that is because sometimes, church, we don't bless our families enough for what they gave to us. And sometimes it can be easy to focus on what you didn't get or what you didn't, you know, have that you wanted, or you look at someone else, you're like, wow, well, why did they get it that way? And this is what, and you can really get lost in that. You can miss the blessings that God has given you through your family. And when you bless your family for it, you are actually blessing God. Because he is the father of all, through whom all families derive their name. So I want you to think, what blessings did your family give to you? And my family gave me a lot of blessings. My parents, man, they worked hard to give me and my siblings more opportunities than they had in their lives. You know, my generation, me and my cousins, we were the first ones in our family to ever go to college, to have that opportunity. And you know what? Our parents, they worked hard. They sacrificed to give us, me and my siblings, more than I had. And that's a beautiful thing, church, right? That's a powerful thing. I can't take that for granted. right? There's other things. I could go on and on. My family gave me a lot of great things, but the things that stuck out to my mind as I was thinking about this, when I was growing up, my grandpa and my dad, they would always affirm strength in me. And I will tell you, that is so important to the masculine soul. Like my grandpa, he would always be like, Chet, you're strong as an ox. I don't know if I was, but I believed him. You know, like, that's right. What do you need me to lift? You know? And my dad always affirmed that too. And it might sound superficial, but church, I gotta tell you, when a young boy thinks they're strong, they need that. Because they're gonna have to face challenges in life. And if they are validated by the men in their life, they will feel more confident and capable to face those challenges that they're going to have to face. When a boy grows up and the men in their life have told them they're incapable and weak, that's going to do some damage to them. That's not easy. You with me on this, church? But they gave me that gift. So I feel like even today, I'm way too overconfident. I try stuff that I should have no business trying, you know? But that was a gift. I think about my mom. She always encouraged me to read and to learn, and she would talk to me as if I were a genius. I can tell you I wasn't. But you know what? But it nurtured a love of learning. It nurtured, it made me feel like I had something to say about important subjects. And so now I preach all the time and stuff like that. It created a monster. But it was a gift, church, and I felt that I was capable of learning. I felt that I had something to say, but that was a gift that was given to me. You with me on this? And I need to bless my family for that. And there's gifts that maybe your family gave you, and you need to think about that. You need to bless them for that, because not only are you blessing them, you're also blessing God. Now, there's other blessings that come in your family that they're more inadvertent. See, maybe your family, they didn't mean to give you a gift, but that gift has blessed you. And here's what I mean. Some of us, maybe your family, you never got the empathy and compassion that you needed. But now, you are an incredibly empathetic and compassionate person. They made you into a beautiful person. They didn't mean to do it, but you can still bless them for it. Maybe you didn't get kind of the notice that you needed. You didn't get the affirmation that you needed. So now you are like driven, and you can get stuff done. You can make things happen. Now they didn't mean to give that to you, but they gave it to you, and it's still a gift. And it may not be it neatly wrapped like you wanted it, needed it to be, but you can still bless them for it. You with me on this, church? And so I want you to think this morning, what are the gifts that were given intentionally? What were the gifts that were given unintentionally? And what can we bless our families for today? What did they give you that came from God through them? Now, here's the hard part. Every family will never be able to fully convey God's love into us. That's why Paul has the rest of this prayer. Notice it. It starts with family, but it ends with the Spirit of God giving us the ability to comprehend the power and love of Christ. Because no family can completely give you what you need. I hate to think about it, church, but I'm going to mess up my kids. Right? I mean, we didn't do a college savings account. We have a psychologist savings account instead. Yeah. But we got great interest rate on it. Yeah. Just, I can set you up with one, just let me know. But it's true. I'm not going to be able to fully give them. And I want to. And reading this stuff, honestly, it kind of makes me nervous because me and Allie were talking. We're like, how do we not, like, mess this all up? It's a lot of pressure. But there's no family that is going to be able to fully convey the fullness of God's love that we need. Right? It's not going to happen. But as we understand what we got and what we didn't get, God can begin to fill those gaps. Pete Scazzaro, he says, our families and traumatic events in our histories often hand us negative messages or scripts that unconsciously direct our lives. So we talked about blessings. Now I want to talk about what we need to let go of. Now I want to talk about what we need to invite God into. Because all of us, because our families can't perfectly give the fullness of God's love to us, we have to then understand what scripts or messages are you living with today that God needs to reshape? That they didn't come through right. They got twisted and messed up. And so now they're powerfully directing us. They're influential in who we are, but not in the right way. You with me on this, church? So I'm going to give you some more things to think about here. What messages did you receive from your family about these 10 topics? I'm going to go through them quickly. What message? You can think about this week. What messages did you receive? What did you grow up that is like, it's like a fish in water. This just is how you see it because it's what you were taught and what you know. Number one, money. What scripts? Right? Some families, money is everything. That's a script. But that's a script that needs rewritten. Right? It's not everything. It's important. It's part of life. Maybe some families, maybe you got it, spend it. And you're like, why am I always stressed out about bills? Well, because you're living off that script, right? You got $5 in your pocket. It's burning your leg up. I got to get this thing out and spend it. You might be living from the script. Maybe money is the only real place of security. But you think about it. Here's the second thing, conflict. Conflict is awful. We don't do that in our house. We got problems, but you see this rug over here? Get the broom. This is a magic rug. You put it under here, you cover it, it's just going to disappear. It's like nothing's going to happen. Well, church, how's that work? That doesn't work, right? So conflict. Or, you know, on the other hand, maybe the family that you grew up in, conflict was always hyper-aggressive. Maybe it was violent. Maybe it was destructive. So maybe because of that reason, you don't want to enter into it. Or maybe when you enter into it, you have a hard time doing it in a healthy way because all you know is this is what it looks like. That script needs rewritten, church, right? 3, sex. You can figure that one out on your own. 4. I ain't going into all this. 4, grief and loss. I only got so much emotional energy up here. Grief and loss, right? So maybe some of us maybe grew up in a family where you could not express sadness. You could, you know, toughen up, suck it up. Well, hey, that's good if you skin your knee, but when your heart's broken, you need to grieve. You need to cry. That's healthy. You don't need to toughen up in that moment. Yeah, if you're on the football field, sure, be tough out there. But when it's your heart that's wounded, it needs expressed. But some of us never got that permission. Some of us maybe were condemned for that. 5, expressing anger. Same kind of things, right? Maybe it's volatile. Maybe you just kind of, everything's passive aggressive. We're going to be angry, but we're going to do it in subversive ways. 6, family. What does family mean? What does it look like? What does it mean to be part? Is it, you know, you're loved as long as you obey the unwritten rules of the family? And if you don't, what are the scripts that we carry? 7, relationships. 8, attitudes towards different cultures. Throw 8 up there. Attitudes towards different cultures. 9, success. What script are you caring about that? Maybe success is the right college, the right clothes, the right car. What scripts are we caring? And 10, feelings and emotions. So I want you to think this week about what you learned, what we carry about those ideas. Because we have to understand it before God can heal it. And then I want to go into one more subject. And I want to talk about the wounds that we carry. So there's some scripts about subjects that God needs to rewrite. We need to learn how his family approaches these things. And then, church, there's some wounds that we might carry today that we need to allow God to heal. So rewriting a script is one thing, and that takes work and effort, but allowing God to really heal our wounds is another. And I want to talk about that for a minute. And if you would allow me, I want to talk specifically about the masculine soul, about fathers and sons. And I'm sorry, ladies, I'm not trying to leave you out, but I'm not a lady. I don't feel confident talking about this. But I think either way, I think some of this will be helpful. See, there are some things that men need to receive from their fathers that are incredibly important to them becoming healthy men. And there's messages that they need to get. And I want to share what I think those are. Here's the first one. Men, boys need to hear that they belong to their father. You belong to me. You are wanted. You are mine. You come from me and you belong to me. And when men grow up without that sense of belonging, it's a very hard journey ahead for them. Here's the second thing. You are loved for who you are. You are loved, not what you do, because that's what guys do. They identify with their work. I am what I do. I am what I provide. I am my bank. This is guys, right? And they need as early as possible to know, no, you're loved not for your performance, but for your existence. Because sometimes your performance is really going to stink. But you know what? You're still loved in that moment. And God the Father models that for us. And here's the third thing. I think that's so important to the masculine soul. You are strong, capable, and dangerous. Come on, somebody. Ladies, this is a need in the masculine soul. This is why your husband gets around his buddies, hops on a four-wheeler, and thinks he's Evel Knievel. It's a masculine soul. It's wild. You can't try to tame it. You have to validate it and affirm it, right? This is why, like, young boys are hurricanes. God made them that way, right? And we got to be a church that validates men, that validates boys, right? I want our boys, let them tear up the nursery. We'll buy more toys. Who cares? I want them to come to church, know that we're gonna unleash them for God's kingdom. We're not going to try and hold them back. We're going to pull them back like an arrow and shoot them into the purpose of God. Because they're wild. They got to be. One of my favorite stories. Should I share this? Share it? Okay. It's not that bad. But Teddy Roosevelt was a Sunday school for a time, and a young boy came in, and he had just got in a fight with another kid. And Teddy Roosevelt said, tell me the story of what happened. And the young boy said, well, I was defending my friend against this bully, and, you know, we got in a scuffle, and I was just trying to protect him. And Teddy Roosevelt said, that is awesome. And he gave him some money. Teddy Roosevelt got kicked out of being a Sunday school teacher after that. But you know what, church? He did the right thing. He did the right thing, right? He was affirming that masculinity. Church is so, it's so important. And by the way, ladies, like, this works with your husbands really well. Like, you let them come down the stairs and be like, hey, what's up, Superman? And they'll look around, they'll be a little confused, but stick with it. And be like, hey, Superman, I need the Man of Steel to make the kids breakfast. It's like a Jedi mind trick. He'll be like, dude, he'll be Emeril Lagasse in there. The kids will never be. And you just keep it up. See, ladies, guys aren't that smart. You can Jedi mind trick them. I'm telling you, you just affirm their masculinity. They'll do whatever you want, right? Come on. What's up, Mega Man? Trash needs taken out. I'm on it, babe. I'm on it. And they'll be flexing on the way. It'll be all good. That one's for free. But church, But truthfully, here's the deal. Many of us, maybe you grew up and you did not get those messages. And it's wounding. Some of us, maybe you grew up and you got opposite. You got actually damaging messages. You're not loved. You don't belong to me. I don't want you. I don't love you. I don't want to make the time of day for you. Some of you, you grew up and you got the message, you're not strong and capable. You're weak. You're dumb. And you're broken. And church, if we don't allow God into those wounds, they will keep creating problems in our life. Now, it's not right if you didn't get the right messages that you didn't get. It's not right and it's not fair. But all we can do is move forward with God's Spirit reshaping what we went through and what we experienced. You with me on this? And this is Paul's prayer. So Paul says this, if we didn't get the blessings that we were meant to from our family, the good news today is you can still get them through God's Spirit. That's the good news. If you feel like you didn't get what you needed, you're not hopeless. Your story's not done. God can still work powerfully in it, but it's meant to come through the Spirit of God as you invite him into your life. And here's what they are. Number one, he wants to strengthen your inner person. If how you grew up, if it damaged your inner person, if it was like sometimes a sledgehammer chipping away at the foundation and there's cracks and there's stuff that's broken and it's all a little bit messed up, invite God's Spirit to do what Paul said. I pray that he would strengthen your inner being. That where maybe other people caused some damage, he'd come in with his tool belt and he would begin to rebuild. And he would begin to strengthen it and to bring new support and fix what has been broken. Secondly, Christ dwelling in our hearts to root us and ground us in his love. Jesus wants to write new scripts in your life that are grounded in his love. If you're carrying a script today, if you're carrying a message from the past that isn't rooted and grounded in the script that Christ says about you and to you, then we need to invite him to rewrite that script. We need to listen to it. We need to just get it into our hearts in deeper and deeper ways. And then lastly, God wants us to grasp the fullness of his love and be filled with the fullness of him. Whatever you didn't get, the fullness of God can bring to you. Whatever you might feel like you got gypped on or was damaging you, the fullness of God can fill that place. In church, it may not happen overnight, but can we begin the journey today? If you are like, man, I've got a lot of brokenness from where I came from, then I want you to pray this prayer all week long that Paul is praying. Spirit, strengthen my inner being. Let Christ dwell in my heart. Let me be rooted and grounded in his love. I wasn't rooted and grounded in the love of my upbringing, but I can be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ today. I didn't get all that I should have got, but today I can begin to get from the fullness of God what I need. There was a young man who had really struggled to find his way in life. He was capable. He was smart. He had everything he needed to figure life out, but he couldn't make a relationship work. He couldn't make a career work. He couldn't ever find traction. And so he's talking to a wiser, older man, and he said, I don't know what's going on with me, but it's the same old story. Every relationship, every job, I find myself in this place of self-sabotage. And the man began to key in what God was doing in him and where it was at, and he began to realize that these wounds were deep and they were from a long time ago. And they came to this point where the young man began to open up to him and he began to tell him stories about his past. And one in particular, he said, I grew up in a very rural place. It was all farms and my family had been farmers my whole life. That's what everybody did. Wake up and go to the soybean field, whatever. You work, that's all life. He said, But I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be the first person in my family to graduate high school and to create a different future that was something other than farming. And so this boy, he worked hard. He went to school. He got good grades. He studied. And finally, he was going to graduate. And he was so proud because no one in his family had done it. He saved up all his money, and he bought this really, really nice suit. And graduation day came, and his dad had this old pickup, and he was in it, and they were driving to the high school, and his dad had his, you know, farmer overalls on, and the son was so excited to share this proud moment with his father. And they pulled into the high school parking lot, and his father dropped them off. He said, "You go, I'll come pick you up when the graduation is over." And in that moment, the son was devastated because all of that was because he wanted his dad to be proud of him. And he didn't get it. And he didn't know how to deal with it. He didn't know what, didn't even realize how deeply it affected him. And so all his life, he carried this sense of brokenness, this sense of inadequacy, this sense of disconnection. And so the wise man said to him, he said, "Let's go back to that scene in your mind. And now, I want you to see your dad in the overalls and you in the suit and sitting in that pickup truck driving to school. And now I want to ask you, do you see Jesus anywhere?" And the guy began to think about it. And he said, I see him. He's sitting between me and my dad. He's got his arms around each of us. He said, "Okay, well, What's he saying to you?" And he said, "He's saying your dad wasn't rejecting you. Your dad was too embarrassed about himself to go in. He didn't feel worthy. But your dad was more proud of you than you could ever know." And as he opened that wound and let God begin to speak into it, his heart began to get healed. And that moment that was so painful now looked entirely different because he saw his dad's pain. It wasn't rejecting him. He just felt rejected himself. And he was able to see it with compassion. He was able to know that he was deeply loved. He was proud of him. And it began to change his life. In church, with the wounds, the pain that you might carry today, I want us to take a moment and I want us to just invite Christ into those scenes. Today, maybe some of us, we're carrying a scene in our life. And that scene, it has shaped us. It has controlled us. It has molded us. But I want to invite Christ into that scene this morning. And I want to see what he has to say about it and what he says to you. Would you just bow your heads in prayer with me? Would you close your eyes? Would you just try to be still and listen to God? And I want you to, if it comes to mind, I want you to picture a scene of pain in your life. Maybe a scene of something that was said that you've never let go of. Maybe something that wasn't said. Something that was done. Maybe something that wasn't done. Spirit, I pray you would just bring those to the surface of our hearts. And now I want you to just go back there in your mind. Where's Jesus? Do you see him anywhere? I want you just to look for him. I want you to invite him into that scene, into that memory. Just whisper in your heart, "Jesus, would you be present here?" And now I just want you to listen to him for a second in the quietness of your heart. I want you just to tune out everyone else in the room. And I want you just to hear what he might be saying to you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you could speak into our past today. Father, I pray where we have been so blessed from our families, I pray we could bless them in return. I pray we would not be sons and daughters that take advantage of the sacrifices and the struggles and the fights that blessed us and helped us. Let us be grateful sons and daughters. Father, where we didn't get what we needed, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit could provide that for us. Father, if there are scenes that we're holding on to, that we're wrestling with today, that gave us the wrong message, a damaging message, a damaging script, I pray your Spirit would rewrite it. I pray we could hear you, Lord, speaking to us now, a new script, a new message. And I pray we could hold on to it. Father, I pray wherever the love didn't get to us, wherever the love got blocked, it got redirected, it got messed up, I pray we could be filled with the fullness of you. I pray we could comprehend the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of Christ for us. I pray it would fill our souls today. Ways, Lord, that we should have been filled, I pray you could fill us now, and we could continue to live from that place. Lord, you are the great healer. And I pray that you could just heal the wounds of our past today. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.